Welcome to today's sermon. I'm Mike Adams, and this sermon is about spiritual cause and effect. Many people think that God works only through miracles, which is bending the laws of cause and effect and intervening or altering the laws of the universe, kind of hacking the universe. But that's not how God operates. And as you'll see here today, he often teaches us that the results that we receive, which is his will, are the results of our own actions. That spiritual cause and effect is in play. For example, we've been talking about the book of Jeremiah, and what did Jeremiah warn the people of the kingdom of Judah? Through him, God spoke and said, essentially, this is in chapters 4, 5, and 6, I believe, that the destruction that is being brought upon you is a result of your wickedness, that you have brought this upon yourself, not me, the Lord speaking. It's not me, the Lord, that seeks to destroy you, but rather you have brought this upon yourself through your wickedness and through your rejection of the teachings of the Lord and through your perversion and your immorality. But it can also work in a positive way. And for this, I want to go back to Ephesians chapter 6. And in Ephesians 6, which is, of course, is about put on the whole armor of God. And we didn't talk about this so much the last time I covered it, but there are various pieces of armor that are described in this chapter, such as the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit and so on. Well, what is meant by the belt of truth? Because a lot of people, I think, have this backwards and they forget about spiritual cause and effect, which is the theme of today's sermon. Think about it. A lot of people believe that if they put on God's armor, then they receive the attributes of God's protection, despite the fact that they may have themselves been deceivers, or they may have been wicked, or they may have worshiped other gods, or they may have, you know, defiled the name of the Lord. But they think, hey, if I find this armor, whatever it is, and if I put on God's armor, then I shall, like magically, like it's a magic piece, a magic belt, the belt of truth, that they will suddenly I shall find myself in truth. And perhaps everything I say shall be true or accepted as truth, because now I am adorned with the belt of truth. And I think that's exactly the wrong way to think about it. What I think God means is that if you act out of truth, that through your actions, through your behavior, through your words of truth, that you therefore adorn yourself with his belt. That by acting in a way that is congruent with truth, you are putting on the armor of God, or at least the belt in that case. And if you act in alignment with righteousness, then you are putting on the breastplate of the armor of God. You see how this works. And if you act with a sense of faith, then you are adorned with the shield of faith. And if you act in the spirit of the Lord's teachings, then you have the sword of the Spirit. It's not, I mean, people have it backwards. They think they put on the armor and then they gain these attributes. But I think it's exactly the opposite. You exhibit the attributes and then the armor appears as a result, cause and effect, spiritual cause and effect. So do you want to have armor against evil? This is the message of Ephesians 6, I believe. You want to have armor against evil? You want to stop the fiery arrows of Satan? Guess what? Act with truth. Truth on your lips, truth from your mouth. Act with righteousness. Act with faith. Act with humility and compassion and all the other properties that are taught. Act in peace, and you shall have the boots of the armor of God. Act with spirit when necessary, and you shall have the sword of the armor of God. This is what it's saying. If you want protections, it starts within you. You cannot be an evil, wicked person and beg God for armor and have that armor bestowed upon you, and then suddenly magically be shielded from these other evils that you're more afraid of. You must change who you are and act in alignment with God's teachings, and then the armor is automatic because it's spiritual cause and effect. You may or may not be aware, but in years past, I interviewed one man who was, I think, an assistant exorcist. And I remember asking him about the process of exorcism and what is it that makes, in this case, a Catholic priest an effective exorcist. So what is necessary as the Catholic priest in order to get the demons out, literally? And the answer is exactly in alignment with what we're teaching here. Well, that Catholic priest has to live a priestly life. That priest, that person, that soul has to be a person of high moral integrity, has to be a person who is close with God, and not just on the surface, but deep in their soul, deep in their heart. Their heart must be with God so that when the devil appears, there is not some weakness, there is not something that can be exploited against the priest, like, you know, I don't know, a sex addiction or a pornographic addiction or some deep dark lie in their life, or, you know, some hidden secret that they're trying to cover up, because that can be twisted and used against them. But if they are someone of God and they walk with God every day and they are pure in their hearts, then they're wearing the armor of God against Satan that can appear through the body of another person, the vessel, the biological vessel, which is what possession is. And remember, there are different levels of demonic possession. There's influence and possession and perfect possession. I forgot all the terms, but there's different levels of infestation. And the stronger the moral character of the priest, the more effective they are at getting Satan to leave. And that speaks to the armor of God, does it not? You earn the armor of God. You don't buy it. You don't find it and put it on. You earn it. Thus, the armor of God is co-created with God through your actions. And if you are a person of high moral integrity, then you are wearing the armor of God every single day in every moment. And you never need fear evil because you always have the shield of faith. You always have the breastplate of righteousness. You always have the belt of truth and the spirit of the sword and so on. There was another person I interviewed who was a jailer in the, I believe it was a California prison system or a jail. I think it was Orange County, but I don't recall exactly. It was in LA County. Yeah. He was an LA County jailer, and he wrote a book about this. I think his name was Romero, but I need to go back and check. He said that what he discovered is that a great number of the prisoners there in the jail were demonically possessed. And one way that he could tell was simply by challenging them, offering them something if they could utter the name Jesus Christ. And it turns out that many of them could not utter the name, even if they were offered things of value, such as a pack of cigarettes or food or whatever things have value in the jails. They could not say the name Jesus Christ because it was too painful for them. It would be physically painful. And this is true among those who are demon possessed. They cannot utter the name Jesus Christ, which is interesting because it tells you that Satan's infestation is afraid of just the spoken name of Jesus Christ. And thus, if you pray to God and you invoke the name of Jesus Christ, that itself is a kind of armor of God as well. It provides another layer of shielding against Satan because Satan cannot stand to be in your body if you are, number one, acting in alignment with God, behaving in a righteous and truthful manner, and then also praying to Christ. The demons will flee. And if you read scripture, by the way, the demons will flee. They can't stand it. It pains them, physically pains them. So there are lots of ways to wear the armor of God. Now, just as the morality and integrity of our behavior gives us the spiritual armor of God, I would like to use this moment to remind you that the molecules of God, as I call them, God's molecules, the natural molecules in medicine, herbs, and foods, and botanicals, these are also the molecular armor of God. And just as acting with integrity and morality helps protect you against the fiery darts of the devil or other attacks and insults from evil forces or satanic forces, having the molecules of God in your body, in your tissues, protects you against the toxins that are put into the food supply and the medical supply and personal care cosmetics. They're put there by satanic forces. So remember, there is a spiritual war. Yes, we know that, but there's also a physical war or a biophysical war being waged against your body, against your physical self. And that war, as I've talked about in other sermons, is being waged with molecules of the serpent, actual venom peptides that are found in foods and pesticides and cosmetics and personal care products, lots of prescription medications. Those are the serpent's molecules. Those are alien to humanity, and also the molecules of the jab, the bioweapons, the mRNA infestation of your body, the alien proteins that your body generates after you have been bitten by the serpent of the vaccine jab. These are molecules of Satan, but guess what protects you? God's molecules protect you. For example, anthocyanins. We know that anthocyanins, which are found, those are the sort of dark purple or black or blue pigment molecules that are found in many foods, from eggplant to purple corn to blueberries, boysenberries, aronia berries, and so on. These anthocyanins occupy many of the receptor sites throughout your body and in your tissues, receptor sites that are targeted by the spike protein. So here's an example with anthocyanins of a molecular armor of God. You are literally eating the molecules from God and Mother Nature. You're finding them in foods at the grocery store, or you're finding them in herbs that you grow, or your home garden, or sprouts, or what have you, or even wild berries. Maybe you're just getting wild, you know, dewberries like we have in Texas, a lot of wild berries. They're rich with these natural medicines. And when you consume those natural medicines, they circulate throughout your body. They're distributed to your body's cells, and they give you a molecular armor of God against the molecules of the serpent. Quite literally, this is biochemistry that we're talking about here. Remember that the study of chemistry is the study of God's laws at the molecular level, just like the study of atomic physics is the study of God's laws at the atomic level, or the study of astronomy is the study of God's laws at the cosmic heavenly bodies level. All these different sciences, including mathematics, are just studying God's laws. Yeah, you can call it chemistry, you can call it physics, you can call it nuclear energy engineering, but it's all just God's laws that you're studying. And God believes in a cause-effect universe. Critical to understand. God believes in a cause-effect universe, including spiritual cause and effect. But he also believes that the armor of God takes many forms. There is a molecular armor, there's a spiritual armor, there's also a mental armor of God, sort of a mental health protection of faith that perhaps we can talk about in another sermon. Now, one last point in all of this. The choice to create the armor of God, whether it's spiritual or molecular or otherwise, this is a personal choice. And just as you can't build the armor of God for someone else, because what is the armor of God? It's the natural spiritual result of someone leading a life of morality, integrity, truth, and righteousness. You can't give that to someone else. You can be truthful and righteous all you want, but you cannot impart that and say, here, you know, let this other person have the armor of God because I have been truthful. It doesn't work that way, does it? There is a personal accounting, just as there is with food and nutrition. So if I eat in a healthful manner, and if I choose to intake the molecules of God through foods and superfoods or supplements or growing foods or what have you, I can't give you that gift. I can't give you the benefits of health that I'm experiencing just because we are adjacent to each other. I can give you the gift of knowledge. I can share wisdom with you, but it is up to you to make the choices about whether you want to take the actions that give you the armor of God in all of its different forms. And this also comes down to knowledge versus doing. There are plenty of people who have knowledge of phytonutrients, you know, plant-based nutrients, or knowledge of antioxidants or carotenoids, and they may be chemists. But then when they go home, what do they eat? You know, processed junk foods and processed sugars and mineral depleted flours and, you know, artificially flavored and colored this and that. Who knows? They may academically understand nutrition. They could probably write out the chemical formula of vitamin C, but in their own behavior, they don't act in a way that is consistent with their knowledge. So knowing what to do is not the same as doing it. It's easy to say what you should do to be in alignment with God. Oh, yeah, we should never lie. We should be truthful. We should be righteous. We should be forgiving and humble. But it's harder to do it consistently when it counts, when nobody's looking other than God. And if you only do it when it's public, then that's called virtue signaling. But you're not fooling God. So developing the armor of God, in other words, being God's armorer for yourself, for your body of armor, being God's armorer means that you have to act in accordance with that when no one is looking, because it must come from your heart. It must be part of you. The armor is not something that you take off, is it? Yeah, you don't take off the belt of truth. You don't take off the breastplate of righteousness. You always have the protections of the armor of God with you if you are acting in accordance with God's laws. See? So, again, to summarize, when Ephesians 6 says, put on the armor of God, what is really being stated here is put your life in a direction where you are building the armor of God, and it is a part of you, and you have God's protections with you at all times, because it's a reflection of who you are. And your actions, which are all seen by God, witnessed by God, and yourself, there is no hiding any of it, no need to try to do that. You either act in accordance with God or you contradict him. And thus, you'll either have the armor of God with you or you won't. And that's a choice that each individual must make in their own life. And that's why God gave us free will, because we have to choose him, consciously choose him. And only then do we receive the benefits of his grace. So thank you for listening to today's sermon. I'm Mike Adams. We have many other sermons for you to enjoy. Hope you enjoyed this one today. Wherever you found this sermon, go to that same place and you'll find all the other sermons. We have 100 sermons over 100 days, many more yet to come. God bless you all. Thanks for listening. Take care.